Well, Christmas is over. I hope all of your Christmas decorations are down and well, we take a quantum leap now today. Remember last week was the Magi, and we talked about the kings coming and seeing Jesus, and now we're going to take a quantum leap about 28 years forward. We're not going to be talking about Jesus working next to his father Joseph as a carpenter. We're going to jump to the baptism of Jesus, and he's come out to see John. John, who is his cousin. Well, beautiful, nice, sweet, loving John, right? This guy's a wild man. He wears camel skins for clothes. He eats locust and wild honey. Any of you eat locust and wild honey? I don't. I'm sure he's pretty skinny, too, because that's not exactly very filling. And he's out there, and what is his message? Repent, you sinners! Come on! Change your life! He wasn't Mr. Sweet Guy. He was noisy. He was obnoxious. And when the king came out, he accused him of having adultery with his brother's wife. So here comes Jesus. Now John was good at telling the people what to do. Repent. Now's the time. Did John tell Jesus anything to do? Nope. In fact, in some of the other Gospels it talks, Jesus, I should be asking you to baptize me. Jesus says, no, this is the way it's got to work. You baptize me. And he baptizes Jesus, and Jesus comes up out of the water, and it says the Holy Spirit descended down like a dove in bodily form upon Jesus, and a voice from heaven said what? This is my beloved, in whom I am well pleased. And in the other Gospels, it says the same thing, but it adds a little phrase, this is my beloved, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Listen to him. Now, at that point, did Jesus have the whole plan? Did he know everything about everything and knowing what he should do next? That's a trick question. No, he didn't. For the next set of scriptures says, and the angels drove him out into the desert, and he was there for 40 days and 40 nights. What? Praying. Asking God, what do I do next? Hey, Dad, what's the scoop here? What do you want me to do? And Satan came and tempted him. Well, if you're the king, son of God, you can jump off this pinnacle of the temple and the angels will pick you up. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And he followed what his father told him to do. The angels were there, and then at the end of the 40 days, it says the angels then ministered to Jesus. Probably fed him too. Interesting, angels. And he says, since we're talking about the baptism of Jesus, I also want to talk about your baptism. Are you all baptized? Anybody here not baptized? We could do it right now. If you're baptized, let me tell you what happened when you got baptized. Now let me start by telling you a story about another St. John's Episcopal Church in Wichita, Kansas, where I was sitting. This is many years ago, and that's the church that sent me off to seminary. This is long before I was going off to seminary, just a lay person sitting in the pew. And there was a baptism. Baptismal font was like right here. And I'm sitting right where you're sitting. My wife is sitting next to me, and in between us is our three-year-old son, Mark. And so we got to the point, you're familiar with the baptism service, after the sermon you do the baptism part, and we were doing that, and my son is going like this. Mark, what are you doing? I'm watching the angels, Dad. Oh. Let's see. Is there one there? No, 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 no. I thought he was looking at stained glass windows, and I said, where? Well, there were three babies being baptized, two white babies and a black baby. And he says, I'm watching the angels over them being baptized. Really? Tell me about them, Mark. They're big, Dad. They're really big. Oh. Are they boys or girls? I don't know, Dad. They're just angels. Where are they now? Well, one of them just went over the altar, but the other two are over the babies. Man, I'm turning my eyeballs on high. I'm looking. I don't see anything. Oh, Dad, the other angel just went back over the baptismal font. Mark, my son, just showed me that there are angels in the world and that young babies, young kids, can see a little clearer than we who have preconceived notions. Think about it. Where was my son 4 years before? He's now three. 4 years ago, he was with God. And when he dies, or you die, or I die, where do we go? Up with God again. See, my friends, that's when we get back to normal. Being with God is normal. And for him, he was remembering, I think, back when he was with God and saw angels. At your baptism, you received a guardian angel. At baptism, you received a mark. We all think of the water. We baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's true. You're baptized. But then the next step that the priest does is he takes anointing oil and he goes, you are marked and sealed as Christ's own. When? Forever. Forever. And why does God do that? Why does God mark you as his own? You are my beloved, in whom I am well pleased, is what God is saying, looking at you. You might be saying, well, hey, you really don't know me, and you don't know about sin number one and sin number two, and I don't always come to church, and I don't tithe, and I don't do this, and I don't do that. God loves you anyway. God loves you just as you are. That's the good news of the gospel. Jesus went on the cross for sinners. And I'm looking out at a bunch of them. But you know what? You're looking at one too. We're all in this boat together. And God tells us again, you are my beloved. And I love you very much. And God wants to raise you up and bless you. Let him. What does that mean for each of us? It means, yes, we come to church. But yes, we share the gospel of Jesus Christ out where you live. I'm not going to go and talk to any one of your next door neighbors. You are. I'm not going to talk to your family. You are. That's your ministry of reaching out and sharing the good news. Blessing your family, your neighbors, your friends, your spouse. That's what you received in your baptism. You received the gift of the Holy Spirit. So it's not just you doing it. It's you, the Holy Spirit, and your guardian angel out there. And my friends, then you're a majority. Then Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. He does, he will, and let him do it. Christ is counting on you to be mighty men and women of God. So my friends, like the Nike commercial says, just do it. Amen.